All right. Well, thank you to Steve and
Kai.
Our next speaker is Kelvin DePlong. He joined Cisco in 2012 as a FIPS 140-2 evaluator and is responsible for developing algorithm testing and gap analysis tools for use by FIPS and CC evaluators. He's going to be speaking to us about rethinking the definition of the operational environment. My apologies for not being here first thing. I forgot that I was supposed to be moderating this session. Lost it all with doing the work this morning.
Well,
thanks. Welcome, Kelvin.
Good day. In respect to the Canadian dollar being 25% lower than the U.S. dollar, I'm going to make this thing 25% shorter. So, great title. What are we really talking about here? Well, I like to sort of do this with a little bit of a pizzazz at first. Quoting my favorite author, Bill Shakespeare, delays have dangerous ends. By the way, I've incorporated the new CMVP logo, and my respects to the NIAP people with the lapel button. So what does this really mean? Delays have dangerous ends. Well, for years now, something has been gnawing at a lot of FIPS evaluators is the fact that what is an operational environment? Yes, it is defined in various CMVP documents, but working with a number of FIPS people in my own department, someone will present a document to the labs and then to the CMVP listing various OEs, listing processors, operating systems. I'll do the same thing. Maybe people like me, I always seem to get through with a minimal of information. And some of my coworkers have said, sorry, that's just not enough information. I don't want to see Intel Xeon. I want to see Intel Xeon E5 or Intel Xeon E2 or whatever. I put Intel Xeon, it always gets through. So where is this inconsistency coming from? Yeah, well, it's coming from the fact that the documents are somewhat inconsistent and use vague terminology. And I'm hoping by sort of opening up the floor to this that with FIPS 140-3 being imminent, and I use that word loosely, that hopefully that and the ISO documents can address this and make definitions of OE or supporting documents where there will be no more doubt. We all know what we're working against, and hopefully it's not the worst common denominator. So the inconsistency has its consequences. It causes evaluation delays because the different parties, the labs, the vendors, the CMVP will disagree on stuff, require things to go back and forth several times. Some people will just play it overly cautious. So they'll just say every OE in the book, they'll do all sorts of unnecessary testing, waste of vendor lab time and CMVP resources. Some vendors, smaller vendors probably, will just simply be discouraged from doing their FIPS validations because there's just too much uncertainty and the accompanying cost that comes along with that. So where is the OE best defined? I mean, there are CVP and there are CMVP documents. I like the one in the CVP FAQ. Now, maybe I'm cherry picking here, but oops, sorry about that. If you go to Gen 12, and it says what's required in the operational environment field. Seeing as the CAVP information has to be specified before it gets to the CMVP level, I figure let's go to the root of this. And so what do they say a processor is? Well, it should be the vendor and processor family. Note the word family. I should have highlighted it in red. What does a family really mean? Operating system. The vendor and operating system family. Now notice the caveats. No further specificity, I hate that word, is required unless the vendor or the lab knows that the software implementation executes differently on different processors. So once again, it's a bit of a catch-all term saying, hey, if you know it's not going to work the way you expect, give us more detail. So once again, not specific, a little bit on the vague side. So I'm going to sort of hone in on something here. I mean, we know that sort of went down one line. We have software, firmware, hardware, and hybrid type modules. So we can do it level 1, 2, 3, and 4. The 3 and 4 are blacked out on software because there is no 3 and 4 in level. But I want to just hone in on one specific example. So I'm going to take away the hybrid, going to take away the hardware, goodbye to firmware, 3 and 4 disappear. Leaves us with level 1 and 2 of software. Well, level 2, I mean, has to be against an EAL platform. By the time a hardware platform gets an EAL, you can't buy it anymore unless you buy it on eBay. So why bother? So let's just go with level 1. Level 1 software. Let's use this as our guiding point. Let's simplify what I'm complaining about. So if you go to IG 116, what's the definition of a software module? Well, module implemented entirely in executable or linked code in a modifiable operating environment. What's a modifiable environment? I won't bother you with the details. It's basically something like a general purpose operating system, a Windows, a Mac OS, Linux, an Android, and a mobile device. So what are we covering here? We're basically looking at software that's done on your computer, on your phone. Not the typical stuff Cisco sells, not in the past at least, or not in the past, but we're doing this more and more. A lot of vendors are doing this more and more. You're seeing a lot of FIPS level one software validations. Most of them are for cryptographic libraries, but I think you're going to see more of just general purpose software, which requires a FIPS level one validation. So let's concern ourselves only with the level one software environment. Now we're going to look at this as a porting exercise. A porting exercise, there's no changes, additions, or deletions to code. Basically, we're going from OE to OE to OE. We're only looking at pure and simple recompilation of source code so they can run on that other OE. And only if required. So in the IG, there's two parts of the text. This one, I'm just going to read it because it's important. Allows vendor porting in IGG.5 of a validated software, hardware, crypto module from the operational environment, provided that you effectively haven't made any changes. Vendor may affirm that the module works correctly in the newer operational environment. Great. You can test a one OE and say, I've got 16 other processors, they're basically all the same. I can let it go on that one. But then there's part two, there's the caveat part. The CVP makes no statement as to the correct operation of the module security strength generated keys when ported. So you can only list that one OE on the CVP certificate. So you're in a bit of a bind. So what if you have a customer that's really strident, really stringent? He says, okay, I like the fact that you've got all these multiple OEs, but one's only on the certificate. I want to see all these OEs on your CVP certificate. What do you do? Well, you got to do the additional algorithm testing to cover all these new OEs. You got to do all the functional testing, and that can be quite extensive. And then you have to update your security policy, VE test reports, and submit it in a one sub. Now, according to the CMVP website, it should only take 2 weeks to do this. Really? I've seen things take a lot longer than that, so the word just wait. So let's consider the following hypothetical scenario. It might be hypothetical, might not be, but we'll leave it at that. So you got a product team. You would like to make a secure communications app and have it FIPS certified. It's got to run on both desktop and mobile versions. 3 flavors of Windows, 2 flavors of Mac OS. Oh yeah, you got to do this mobile as well too. It's got to run on 6 versions of Android, 3 versions of mobile iOS, and 2 versions of mobile Windows OS. Even though I haven't seen a Windows phone recently, apparently some people own them. You got to cover 90% of the CPU market in the desktop, and about 95, they want you to cover 95% of the mobile version. Oh great, these are wonderful specs for your marketing and salespeople. So let's do a bit of math here. So you figure to cover that 90% of the CPU desktop market, you need at least 20 different CPUs for the Windows side, and for the Apple side, you need at least 6 different CPUs. For the mobile, at least 10 CPUs, and 6 for the Mac OS, and 4 for the Windows Mobile. So you do the math there, do all the numbers, crunch it up. 158 OEs. Oh, God. I mean, I've seen some of the Microsoft certificates are close to that, but we don't all have the money Microsoft does. So that's an incredibly large number, and it's just not doable. It's not realizable. But what else could we consider here? Well, the application software that you've compiled to run on these various OSs and CPUs, you compiled it. The binary is most likely going to run on a number of different platforms. So let's assume the 5 different builds of this software will operate equally well, fully binary compatible on all CPUs without the need for any code modification. So let's take our original equation, 158. This becomes a lot of ones and twos now. Now I put 2 in the Android because even though almost every Android machine is a ARM-based processor, there are some variations. Okay, I'll say this ARM is not exactly the same as this one that might not be binary compatible. But we've gone, 80% less testing. That's a good number. Sorry to the labs out there. I know we're taking away the bread and butter from your mouth. No more Bahamas vacation. You'll have to just sit at the pool. Too bad. you know, find another way to make money. So what's the problem with the solution? Current CMVP policy on OEs doesn't allow this approach. In recent months, the CMVP has been sending out little notes to people, which have been filtering down to us, cracking down on this. They've been telling us in their evaluation notes and comments, they've been doing it via emails and via other methods. The CMVP program manager made the two following comments in an email. Intel Xeon, many examples, 30 Intel Xeon families. Actually, it's more than 30. So I won't say how many, because then I'll get myself in trouble. PowerPC, there are at least four versions of that, if not more. So, but why make the distinction anyways? Let's take a level one software crypto module, compile for a 64-bit Intel CPU or AMD. The binary code will most likely, and I have to be careful, I say most likely execute correctly on every one of these Intel and AMD CPU, 64-bit CPUs. Now, no question, different families, architectures, microarchitectures, they might be implemented differently, but the opcodes, which execute the crypto code, essentially like black boxes. Given the same input, they'll give you the same output. Now, I'm not implying that different CPUs are all the same. Vast differences, I mean, everywhere else, Intel, AMD, whoever, Exynos, they wouldn't make these things, Samsung. Intel and AMD have AVX, SSE, and quite a multitude of different instruction extension sets. Depending on the compiler, how it's configured in the build time, some of these extended instruction sets might actually be used, like AVX might be used for some of the matrix math. So there's a possible that processor A has AVX, processor B doesn't. The compiled binary code might be subtly different. This is already addressed in the AESNI instruction set. There's already a different sort of designation for that. It's been a recently reformed IG 1.21, talking about PAA and PAI have addressed this. The one thing I still got to see about PAI, they talk about a list, and I don't know what this list is, so someone from CMVP, tell me where I find this list, please. So what should the CMVP recognize? Well, certain binaries designed for a specific processor will run equally well on a rather wide range of CPUs. Same can be said for the underlying operating system. Really, a Linux kernel 3, kernel 4, kernel whatever, 5, same binary is going to run exactly the same on each. There might be some subtle differences in the underlying code for entropy, granted, but for the algorithms themselves, AES, SHA, HMAC, they're going to run the same opcodes, they're going to run the same. The OSs, no real difference in that. So how could the CMVP accommodate these differences? Well, it's something we've been skirting around for years. In the past, the IG documents did list actually some major brands of CPUs and OSs and said, okay, this family. Okay, that's fine. But develop a comprehensive mapping of the more common CPUs that are functionally identical, the ones that all have the same instruction set. So say, let's group them all into A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So we don't have 300 processors. We might have 15, 20 functional groups. The FIPS vendors, the major CPU manufacturers could get together with NIST, I'm assuming, help this. I mean, it's Intel, AMD, Samsung. There are not a lot of them out there that really fall into this area. Share this data on the CMVP website. The benefits of this, what are the pros? Reduce the amount of time, resources tied up in unnecessary OE combinations. Free up resources within the CMVP to do stuff that you enjoy more and that's much more relevant to the actual security of the product. There's always the con, slight possibility of reducing the number of tested OEs in the submission might allow that one, two, single rogue OE that doesn't operate in the same way. But remember, we always have post-testing. You know, if something's not done right, the post-testing is going to crash. So it's highly unlikely that a subtle variation of an operating system or a processor is going to cause a problem. Now, when I was going through the IGs, I found a very strange IG I actually never noticed before. And it made a strange comment. The second paragraph, since I have to rush a bit, they talked about, yeah, you can claim two processors as being functionally equivalent. And they talk about the word architecturally compatible. So now they're not using the word family anymore. Now that I mentioned this IG, it'll probably be thrown out of the IGs next week. So So, and a final note, ACVP might make this all go away. So I thank you for listening to me, taking your time. Cisco thanks you. And I think we have time for one question, if there's any. If not, I'll rush off the stage. No questions? I'm gone.